The third presentation this morning is off-grid power solutions for electric rope shovels. We have two presenters here. The first will be Wayne Camille, product manager of electric rope shovels for Cat Global Mining, and Mike Onsager, I hope I got that right, senior engineering technical steward, surface extraction, Cat Global Mining. They will describe Cat's patented energy storage and power management technology, which allows ultra-class electric machines to operate effectively on diesel power generator, as well as more efficiently when connected to the grid. Please welcome Wayne and Mike.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Camille. As Steve said, I'm the electric rope shovel product manager for Caterpillar. And that's Mike Onsager, who will be up after me, the senior technical steward for Caterpillar for surface extraction. We're here today to talk about power demand management. Isn't that a beautiful machine? I think so. I'm a little biased, but it's a beautiful machine for a lot of reasons. You find rope shovels around the globe because of what it's known for. It's highly efficient, low cost per ton to operate. It's great in big benches. It's got the electric motor, so it's highly reliable. But it's not without its challenges. Obviously, those tend to be around the need for power, the trail cable, and how we manage that. So, regardless of where you're at on the continuum, if you have no power, you're just opening up a mine, or you have power and it's great power, this solution has a very significant impact it can play in your operations. Depending on your situation, and there are many of these that we see that you could save millions per year, millions of dollars. If you have no power, your solution today, prior to this solution, would have been to have 8 to 11 gen sets and a load-resistive bank to manage one rope shovel. Pretty awkward, pretty complicated, lots of fuel, lots of maintenance or capital or rental charges, but it could be done. If you have moderate power, you're in one of the developing worlds. This is actually a sign I took outside of a mine in Botswana where the community's heavily impacted. They're just starting up with some big equipment there, and they're advertising, hey, even when we're out of power, we can cook you a pizza. Big community impact to take the power down because of a spike at the mine. So if you're in a developing area, this solution can impact you. Not to mention that when the power goes down for the community, it's down for you. If you're at an existing mine with good infrastructure and have power, this solution can help you. How does it help you? We attenuate the peak demand so that the actual charges you receive, your bill, your power bill, they're typically somehow connected to the power demand peak. If you can reduce that peak and ensure that you don't exceed that peak, typically your bill goes down. Additionally, if you're in a pushback situation, the substation, you could spend $1 million less on a substation because of the reduced power demand it has. If you were in a greenfield and you're opening it all up, you could put those in from the beginning. So no matter where you're at on this continuum, from no power, power but challenges with the power, or fully powered, this solution, which we're going to present to you, has a significant multi-million-dollar impact on your business. What's it look like? This is what it looks like. If you need to run a gen set, we have two Cat gen sets that would run one rope shovel. That's the solution today. The chuck shovel down there, that's at Tucson Proving Ground. Presently, we're running this solution there. We've been running it since August of last year. It works. We're digging. We've been running it, running lots of tests on other development things on the shovel as well. It provided a solution I needed. I needed to get power out there. It was pretty expensive to power it up, and I had an event I needed right away, Mine Expo. We got it out there. You don't have Mine Expo, you don't have a proving ground, but you've got needs where you need to open it up right away. This could be your solution. If you take away the gen sets and you get power, the solution still looks like that truck shovel combo over there. It's nearly invisible. Mike will be up and show you what the components look like that go on the shovel. But when you detach the gen sets and no longer need to be powered by diesel, you still have those advantages I spoke of, along with some others, which I'll show you here in a minute. This is a concept. We now have proven we can do this. We have not yet done this, though. This is the idea. You have one gen set. So instead of running off of two, which we're currently using because they're very popular model sizes, you would have one on a towable structure. And imagine that. We've got it all kind of sequenced here. You move the genset near the blast. You kind of tow in. Over the shift, you switch to genset power. The shovel operates. It's digging while the trail cable's rolling up. You're still being productive. You move out of there. The blast goes off. You move back in. All this time, as you can see, the genset is enabling power, not just like a motivator that can move you, but you can actually dig full power. What's that worth to you? 3-7 hours of productivity, depending on your situation. Again, no matter where you're at in that continuum of power, this solution has a pretty big impact on operations, or it could. I've spoken to a lot of customers recently about this solution, and one of the things I find interesting is that despite all the cost savings I just spoke of and the community impact, the thing that really got a lot of dialogue going was the flexibility. With this solution, again, because of the attenuation of the power, we're able to have a 50% longer trail cable. What's that mean in today's world? One, can you imagine not having to put the high tension wire down? The substations don't have to be down into the pit. You never really do have enough electricians in a mine. As we look at the difficulty of having technical people available at mine sites, that's always a challenge. Planning's a challenge. You get to keep running without moving your substation. Less movement of the substation. Huge. This is a picture of the machine at TPG. It's functioning today. I'm sure there are people that might be interested in that. You can talk to me. We'd love to show off this technology. To the right there, you can see there's some pictures of the technical components. So at this point, I'll hand it over to Mike Onsager, and then we'll both be back for questions when he's through. Mike?
For a number of applications, we've got some unique things that we've been able to leverage the technology that we've been developing and applying for many, many years. And as Wayne said, the application of a rope shovel, whether it's on a utility or any power source, creates a number of challenges. And there's three main pieces. Of course, it's a very dynamic duty cycle. It has high loads. It has extremely high peaks during digging and swinging over to a truck. The dumping sequence, the swinging back, and then, of course, stopping the machine. So whether you're on a utility or you're on a genset, you've got a number of needs and applications that have to absorb these wide loads. As Wayne said, you often pay for the peak utility power for demand charges. So anything we can do to stabilize this and lower it is of benefit. Now, on a diesel set, it provides some additional unique challenges beyond what we normally see on utility. First of all, the regen has to be managed so that we don't overspeed the engines on the regen side of this. And regen can be significant. It can be as high as 60% of the max peak power on a machine. And over the course of a cycle on the large machine like a TPG, we're talking a machine that roughly 3.5 megawatts in power at the peak, just to put it in perspective. So first of all, managing that regen is the first challenge that we have. The second challenge, of course, is the peak. How much can the diesels supply? How much power is available? And how do we optimize the fuel solution along with the size of the sets and the numbers? And the third, which is actually perhaps the most critical one, is the one that really lets us get the number of sets down from what Wayne talked about, some of the applications. Because if you look at this rate of change on a rope shovel, it's a very high, steep curve, and it can be typically as much as 3 times what the engines are capable of if you size them based upon the power requirements. So the peak shaving technology really modifies that curve in a couple of areas. First of all, the yellow curve is the modified curve with the addition of the technology. Of course, there is no regeneration back to the engine, so we've taken care of that piece of it. We've lowered the peak by, in this case, 25 to 30% of what it would have been normally by capturing some of this energy and not requiring it during the digging cycle. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly on the sizing, we've changed the slope of this rate of change to where the engines can manage the load cycle that we're seeing. So the technology is using energy capture. It's using energy storage and offsetting and providing the remainder of this curve above what the yellow one shows from the energy storage components that are on board the machine. From a system standpoint, it really is a very simple addition to the existing machine. This is a one-line diagram of a typical existing shovel that we produce today, with the incoming power comes through the slip rings into the onboard transformers, the active front ends and regulators that control bus voltage as well as power factor and harmonics and so on. And then the inverters for the motions, the hoist, the swing, the crowd. Basically, the only addition that we've had to make using the same basic electronic components is an additional, really an additional chopper type supply that feeds large capacitor storage. And they go by many different names in the industry. You might have heard of ultracapacitors, supercapacitors, but they're very... very common, becoming more so in a lot of transportation applications, a lot of applications where there's short duty cycles, repetitive start stops, where energy can be captured over a short period of time and then provided back to the various load to help reduce the overall capability of the power. So from a component standpoint, the power electronics are basically essentially the equivalent of adding one more inverter of the same modules and the same interchangeable hardware that we use on the machine on the rest of the motions as well. Looking at the additions to the machine and other hardware, the major addition is the energy storage capacitors. And the two boxes that you see here with the red circles on the top of the roof represent the capacitor modules that are mounted onboard the machine to store this energy that's utilized throughout this cycle. So fairly insignificant change to the machine. Still full accessibility on the roof for all the other options and special filters and things that have to go on certain machines around the world from a product standpoint. So that really externally is the only additional type components. All the electronics go within the existing cabinet that's already on the machine without adding additional hardware or deck space. Certainly, two points I guess I wanted to make on this slide. I mean, one, obviously, there's a number of intellectual properties, number of existing patents we have, and a few others that are currently pending for this technology. But I also wanted to point out the point that peak shaving technology is nothing new. If you look at the machine in the background, that's a machine from the 1940s that we built a few dozen of, which actually had a moving counterweight in the back of the machine, which really was a peak shaver. The hoist drum was dual reeved, and when you were hoisting the dipper, the counterweight on the machine actually helped raise it. When you were lowering the dipper, it helped slow it down and stop it, so it was an active counterweight. So it really has been around for a lot of years. In the 60s, there were some applications on the utilities with large flywheels to help stabilize the systems. In the 80s, there were some machines built actually with onboard flywheels to store energy. So really, the concept isn't new. It's been the technology and the ability to incorporate it into today's components that's made it economical and viable for these applications. As I mentioned earlier, and Wayne talked about, you know, the number of gen sets we've been able to reduce significantly from what some of our end users have ended up doing around the world before this technology was available. But the other opportunity that we've been able to leverage is maximizing the capability of the shovel, the sizing of the peak shavers, and the engine capability by matching those very closely. And certainly... coming from the Bucyrus side of the world, I guess, is we've been integrated. Having access to that technology at the factory level has been one of the advantages we've been able to leverage in terms of matching sets and capabilities and ultimately communications and diagnostics and everything that makes it one complete system so that we know how the various components are working together and how they're optimized. The The title, actually, of this paper was Off-Grid Solutions, but Wayne alluded to some of the benefits of this technology in on-grid as well. And that could occur either on an existing on-grid where there's some desire to take advantage of some of this technology, or it could occur on a machine that may initially go to work with off-grid, and then as utility power becomes available, it becomes a grid-based machine. So the advantages of this are fairly significant. I mean, first of all, we get similar capability of reduction, but actually a little bit more peak shaving than we had on the diesel gen set, because I don't need to use a portion of that capacity for the rate of change of load, because the utility can typically handle that. But more importantly, as Wayne said, we can go to longer trail cables. You can go, as you look at sizing components and infrastructure, which is often sized on the peak of the machine, there's capability to reduce the size of substations, longer trail cables, more machines in a given mine with the same incoming power capability. So many, many opportunities to utilize this technology in an on-grid one, particularly if you're in an area of the world where there's weak power supplies, limitations on voltage swings. You know, there's a lot of places that we've run into that the locals don't like the TV sets flickering when they want to watch the soccer game. And this can help that application tremendously. So with that, I'm going to let Wayne do the summary. Want the mic or do that?
I think this. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. So for us, the solution that we're providing, we really think touches just about everybody who would use a rope shovel. The power demand management is available. It's for electrified or non-electrified, greenfield or brownfield. Everybody here I know cares about the community. It's for all of us. It's also for those people who are having problems at the mine site with the flicker and the component life there for the other. When these things spike at the local mine site, there's other components that have shortened lives and failures and troubleshooting issues and shutdowns and trips like that. So we think this is for all of us here. If you're interested, of course, we think this game-changing technology is really something special and that a lot of people would want to see. We have it at the TPG where we have arrangement if customers like to see it. Thank you very much.
Is this too far? Must have covered it well.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Regarding the capturing the regenerative energy, has Caterpillar considered using this on their electric drive haul trucks in retard to capture some of that energy and then reuse it?
You know, we're always looking at applications and opportunity. Part of the challenge with a haul truck is a lot of that retard, certainly starting and stopping would potentially have this, but a lot of the retard is over a long cycle and stopping the machine in a downhill haul. And the supercapacitors have the benefit of capturing high amount of energy or power over a short period of time. They're not long-term storage type devices. So there are trade-offs that drive that economics in that type of an application.
So it might be economical dependent on the duty cycle of a particular mine, correct?
Yeah, potentially. I'll give you a good example in another industry where that technology has been applied, garbage trucks. If you think about it, it's being looked at because it's start-stop technology. If you think about it on a route when they're normally stopping at every house to pick up the refuse, because it is a relatively short time frame from the time of braking versus energy usage, and that's really what drives the economics.
Or drag lines would be.
Well, certainly, as Wayne said, I mean, even the largest machines we build, the dragline products, this is applicable because, again, the shorter duty cycles.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, guys.
Good. Thank you.
We'll take a short break now.